Welcome to College Football Unfiltered, where it is always football season, and we here are part of the Believe Podcast Network and presented by Bet Online, which remains the number one spot for all of your basketball and football action this season, and it has not been short of any action here with college football. But still, from basketball to baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, you name it, even Vegas casino games, we don't want you to miss out on all the action here at Bet Online. So head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You cannot miss out on that. All you have to do is use the promo code BELEAV50, that is BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to CFB Unfiltered. I am Blaine Gilmer here with Josh Taylor and Donovan White. Guys, we are coming off a, week eight that wasn't necessarily the most appealing going into it, right? But man, did it deliver some tasty treats for college football junkies. Almost two big upsets, that were survived by Cincinnati and Oklahoma. We're going to get into that. Penn State and that garbage offense that they threw out there that we'll break down in detail here in just a minute. But Josh, just give everybody kind of an overarching thought before we dive into these individual games that happened this week.
Yeah, this is the time of the year where the contenders start to rise to the top and then the pretenders seem to fall out. Maybe Oklahoma State's in that category. But I think we'll start to see a clearer picture of what the playoffs looks like moving forward. I think this week, for a boring week, actually told us a lot, especially with Alabama.
Donovan, 8 days from now, actually 9 from going live right now, the first CFP rankings will be put out. The College Football Playoff Committee will put out their rankings. Coming off of the week 8 action, heading into week 9, kind of what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where the playoff committee, values teams like Cincinnati or Alabama or Ohio State with some of the losses under their belt, or Cincinnati still undefeated. I just think this weekend proved, this isn't 2020 anymore, right? 2021, even a week college football weekend can be exhilarating, right? From the noon kickoff games, you get a thriller of a weekend.
Absolutely. And guys, we're going to do a better job of putting up some comments here throughout the show. Josh, you're not going to like some of these. People railing on you, Alabama, already. That's early. Right. Bring back the wishbone. Alabama looked like doo-doo. I didn't bother to watch the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter was the best part. You think they look like a national championship team in the fourth quarter. So you should have kept watching.
OU 7 Nats says Tennessee in all bold right there, all caps. So Tennessee, I will say this, Josh Heupel has that program on the uptick. They're looking pretty good. And then
Hendon Hooker.
No doubt. Elite. Yeah, Hendon Hooker's going to do great. I even tweeted out last night, I said Hendon Hooker is going to do special things for the Tennessee program before he's out of there. And then Gary Lewis joining us on the YouTube channel as well, here on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. Very bummed out for Oklahoma State, and he's a Pac-12 fan. Well, Gary, you must love misery, because the Pac-12 is misery. So best of luck to you with being a Pac-12 fan over there. But Donovan, you're our resident Big Ten aficionado, the one who loves all things Big Ten up there, and you get to see someone in the Big Ten East go down in a just absolute blaze of glory. I would call it a blaze of glory, but it was just a blaze of mediocrity up there in Penn State, losing in 9 overtimes, and there was only 38 total points scored in the entire football game. Absolutely dreadful. Donovan, what is your reaction?
Well, my reaction is this: it's bad for the Big Ten, but it's bad for college football. Right? You wanted an Ohio State at 4 or 5 versus a Penn State at 7 or 8 this coming weekend. But a Penn State team that has zero offense, right, against, I believe, 2-5 Illinois team going into that, who had 38 yards passing, 38, and had over 350 yards rushing against Penn State, who's supposed to have a great defense. I don't care if you're only, kind of leaning towards rushing in terms of Illinois, but you gave up 350 yards rushing. And I think that Illinois O-line heard their head coach. I think last week he kind of called out the O-line saying they didn't have any depth. I saw some O-line gurus calling it out, and I'm like, he's not wrong. They're not good, but they definitely heard their head coach.
Bielema went out there and basically called his guys a bunch of sad sacks to the media.
And he's not wrong.
You know, so where's the SEC football at?
He was being honest, you know. But typically you want to have a little bit more decorum when you're talking about your own team. But Josh, you know, Penn State, what's your opinion, man? I mean, you got James Franklin's being mentioned for every job out there in America, LSU, USC, all this kind of stuff. And then something like this happens. Do you think it was a matter of them having those kind of distractions leading into this?
I don't know. Like, they recruit really well. Like, I really like Coach Franklin, you know, as a coach, but it's just they can't seem to put it together for whatever reason. Like, the offense and the defense are never clicking. If you look, like, on paper at, like, the final stats of the game, like Donovan mentioned, there's no way in the world Penn State should lose this game. They had zero turnovers. Illinois had three. Illinois has zero passing game, like Donovan said. They're strictly running the ball. And you do have a great defense. You have a phenomenal linebacker core, by the way. Like, how are you not just loading the box on every single play and just expecting the run? Like, you should be daring Illinois to throw the ball. And, yeah, they got an interception off of the quarterback one time. But still, like, to not be able to win this game, especially in nine overtimes, and that one Philly special play call in overtime, that was terrible. That is not the call to make in that game. Like, this is the time to get cute and pretty, like, just win the game and get out of there. And he just tried to do too much at the end. So, to me, that was, like, the first time where Franklin's done something where I was like, oh, that did not look good at all.
Yeah, so, you know, it definitely was not ideal for Penn State. And it in fact makes that Big Ten East, you know, a little bit less than of a gauntlet, because now, even with, I think, College Game Day isn't College Game Day going there to the Penn State Ohio State game? I mean, that is a mistake, I think, you know, because that is going to be
Michigan State. Like, come on.
Yeah, Michigan State, two undefeated teams. And before we move on to our next game here, we got too much going on here in the comments to put up here. Gary Lewis, serious question. Which 21 SEC team has a competent pass defense?
Georgia. Kentucky.
Are most 21 Georgia. SEC Arkansas. Defenses Big 12 bad? No, I wouldn't say most are Big 12 bad. Alabama's just more inconsistent than they have been. It's not that they're not a good defense. They've just been more inconsistent than what they've been. Cam Harrison's kind of clapping back at Gary a little bit here. BYU is 4-0 versus the Pac-12. So, you know, wrong. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening with all that stuff. But
they should go to the Pac-12.
No doubt. No doubt. I think, you know, aren't they? They're ended up joining the Big 12, them and Cincinnati, Houston, all those guys that are ended up joining. So the college football landscape is changing. Teams going into the Sun Belt, all that kind of stuff. It's a whole new world, you know, which all started with Oklahoma and Texas, you know, leaving the sinking ship that is the Big 12 right now. Heading
that was the first jingle block that
heading to the SEC. And speaking of the SEC, let's talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide, right? Yeah. So Alabama comes out, and here's the good and the bad from my point of view. Watched every snap of that game. Well, I say I watched every snap. I had one eye also on my Braves.
The Braves are playing.
They went to the World Series. So the Braves are playing the Houston Astros. First time in 22 years, the World Series. Pretty excited about that. But, no, I was watching the Alabama and Tennessee game, and I think what happened is the switch flipped for Bryce Young in that game. He looked different than he's looked all year. And it's not because that Tennessee defense is bad. I'll just be honest with you. That front seven for Tennessee is talented. Alante Taylor is going to be a longtime pro. I'm telling you, he's a guy who he can play at different positions. He's a corner right now for Tennessee, but he's long enough and physical enough. He can play safety, nickel, anything he wants to at the pro level. And Tennessee has some guys, but Alabama just doesn't have that laser-focused discipline, it seems, that they've had in past. You know, you open up a drive with a delay of game penalty. There should have been another one that you opened up a drive with that Saban had to take a timeout. There's multiple false start penalties. There's different kind of things, busted assignments in the secondary that allow big plays. Just to me, Josh, with you being our resident Alabama guy, it doesn't look like the same laser-focused Nick Saban team.
Yeah, and it's really hard because you get kind of, you know, spoiled when you have guys like, you know, Fitzpatrick, you know, Arenas. I mean, I can go on. So just all these first-round draft picks that have come out of Alabama. Now you have a ton of new guys, and it seems like the guy, Malachi Moore, is like the captain on the defense. Still, if you got that. I'm pulling for the Braves just because I hate the Astros, obviously. But for me, it's just there's so many young guys in the secondary, and they haven't like matured yet. They're not at that level to where they communicate well. Like Wright, Armour Davis, Helms, they just haven't gotten on the same page. It seems like the Texas A&M game. As soon as Malachi Moore went out, I knew. I was like, this is bad. This is just a bunch of young guys in the secondary. You can be a 4-star, 5-star, but it doesn't matter if you're not making the plays, if you're not in the position you need to be. Up front, I think the D-line is getting better. I mean, it starts with Will Anderson, but I think Byron Young is going to be a phenomenal guy. He reminds me of Jonathan Allen. Fildarius Mathis has stepped up. DJ Dale has been a disappointment for a while. But outside of that, like, I feel really good about it. I know you hate our linebackers, Blaine. You don't really like Henry Ohtoto. But I think they're getting
is slow. I'm just telling you.
I'm not worried about the NFL, though. Like, I'm just worried about this season with him. But Christian Harris, quick to the ball. But Allen's been out too. He was that captain for us at the linebacker corps. So he's been out all season long. So they're, once again, people will say, I don't care, all these 5-star recruits. But if you're not playing on the same page, you can put blame on Pete Golding. Alabama does it every single week. Alabama hates that guy. Which, I mean, if you take a look at him, you're like, all right, he's not a defensive coordinator. Like, where's Kirby Smart?
I think Saban looks sometimes and he just looks at Pete Golding. He's like, you're not Kirby. Yeah. Why are you not Kirby?
Like, he's like, where's Kirby Pruitt at now?
He's been with him for so long. But Donovan, the physicality, I think, is starting to get there with Alabama back to those levels. And we're going to get to our top 10 rankings that we all do each week here in reaction. But I think you're starting to see Alabama, some of those pieces up front, starting to play with that edge that Alabama's known for.
Yeah, you're starting to see him get more comfortable, right? You even see Bryce Young running a little bit. That run game is starting to pick up. That D-line, like you mentioned, Josh, are starting to grow into their own a little bit. You know, listen, I came in tonight saying, Alabama won myself and, you know, a group of the most elite gamblers on the planet. Decent chunk of money. You know, I appreciate that. I said, I'll come in.
I have a text what you sent.
You did. You do. You know what was at stake for
you
us.
You abandoned the bet.
Well, listen, they did me a great service as well as a couple others. That being said,
just so everybody knows, about the third quarter last night, Donovan says, screw it, they're not going to cover. I'm rooting for Tennessee.
I was in a dark hole.
So you should just send me that whole earning.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe we'll put up there eventually. I said, listen, Bama did me a good service, right? I'm not going to go too hard on them. There is a fine line right now in college football, in my opinion, of the top two teams, and then there's a big drop below that line. And Bama is not in one of those top two teams, in my opinion. Their defense would get shredded, I believe, by Ohio State. And I don't know if their offense right now, not to say that they couldn't pick it up later, would be able to score enough against Georgia's elite defense. That's just my two cents, but we'll get into
it. I'd like to challenge that secondary. I think that's a great matchup. But my point is, Blaine, you mentioned how it seemed like the switch flipped for BY9 out there, who I think is the Heisman candidate now, simply because he showed, and you said this in the text,
it's him and Matt Corral. I mean, yeah. I really believe.
But, and this is something you said last night, you saw the value of Bryce Young. The running game was running through Bryce Young. Those big third down conversions, him running with his feet. The O-line was struggling big time. Yeah. And he showed
that's what worries me. That's what worries me about Alabama, Josh, is because he literally was buying so much time by himself. They just better pray to the good Lord that Bryce Young does not get hurt. Because if Bryce Young goes out and you got to throw,
Paul Tyson?
Yeah, Bear Bryant's great grandson, twice removed from a third marriage, whatever it is out there. They're just clinging to some kind of Bear Bryant, you know, thing over there in that legacy.
He's good.
But if they have to throw him in there, that would be a totally different story. But Donovan, we talked about physicality. You and I disagree a little bit on the next team we're going to talk about, Michigan. They dominated Northwestern, you know, at least on the scoreboard. But you said that there are some things out there that Michigan needs to be worried about, especially heading in to a top 10 matchup with their rival Michigan State in East Lansing this week. So what are your thoughts, Donovan, on that Michigan just run it down your throat style of football? And, you know, how are they going to be going into this game?
I listen, Michigan, they've got a physical offensive line, right? They've got it. There's a reason they have, you know, at one point in the season, I'm not sure if they still are, had the most rushing yards in FBS, right? There's a reason they have a two-headed monster running back, right? Their offensive line and their run game is the best in the Big Ten, right? And that says a lot considering the group you got in, you know, Ohio State, Michigan. That's my opinion. Michigan, the top two teams in America.
Top 10 in the Big Ten, maybe.
Nick Maroso. I don't know how to pronounce
Morosi,
your last name.
Maybe.
Morosi, but
he's from Michigan.
Top two fish. Team. He's probably a Youper, man.
I mean, he's on payroll.
He's up there, but no, I don't know if Michigan's top two, but I definitely think they're very physical, like you were saying, Donovan. But you just don't think there's enough balance, right, with that Michigan team?
They look like the same Michigan team that we see in previous years. I said this before we got on air, is that this is the same Michigan team of the last 5 or 6 years with Harbaugh, except they didn't lose in week 3 or week 5 to Rutgers or to Maryland or something like that, right? They have no passing game. A JV high school passing attack is what Michigan has. Their defense is great. I mean, their defense is strong. They're slow. It just seems like they're slow. Yeah, he is. He's
a huge draft name right now.
He might be he's probably the best defensive end in the country. I mean, him and Kayvon Thibodeau, those two, you can make an argument, right?
Well,
you can,
we'll just think that you're calling Will Anderson a linebacker.
But
go ahead.
Yeah, well, yes, I'm going to classify Will Anderson a linebacker. But Michigan, they just look slow. I mean, like, they look slow compared to Michigan State, or they look slow compared to Alabama or Ohio State, even Georgia, right? With their offensive struggles, Georgia's defense is just fast. That's the difference. And I'm not too high on Michigan.
Big Ten ain't got this.
Again, people are saying we will get to this later on. It's not actually part of the show, but people are saying that Georgia's offense is struggling. It is the second most efficient offense in the country. They do what they have to do when they have to do it to win the ball.
He's talking game management over here.
I'm just telling you. You go look at who has the most explosive plays in play action. Georgia's number two in the country. I mean, they're consistent in every phase of the game, and they're elite among maybe one of the most elite defenses we've seen in the last 10, 15 years on that side of the ball. So, and we'll get to more stuff of that later in this week when we get to our preview start of everything. This is more of a reaction show. Speaking of reaction, I missed the Penn State one. I don't want to throw not put Donovan's hard work to use over here. So we had this headline where Penn State went down. We talked about
That's taunting right there. That's taunting. Throw the flag.
Yeah.
There should be 9 over. 10 overtimes, please. That's taunting.
Yeah, so that was in the 9 overtimes. And then, of course, we also have already, you know, talked about Alabama and Michigan, some of that stuff. Now we're going to get into, Oklahoma State goes down, guys. They go down to they're a top 10 team that falls the Big 12. Their only hope now is Oklahoma. And speaking of Oklahoma, they survived in Kansas where that score was not indicative of how that game ended up either. So when you're talking about Kansas, a team that is much like Vandy and what I think of Vandy should be kicked out of the SEC. I think Kansas should be kicked out of any conference as well. They should be sent to the football. Island of misfit football teams, you know, like over there. But Oklahoma had all they wanted from the Kansas Jayhawks on Saturday, and it took a Herculean effort from Caleb Williams with his legs. And they
stealing the ball.
You know, I thought it was kind of odd. They wanted to keep talking about how thick his legs were on the broadcast, but that's neither here or there. You know, I mean, I'm like, well, let's not talk about the man's anatomy and stuff. Okay. You know, let's leave.
We hear from Saquon Barkley all the time in
Washington. Exactly. So anyways, you know, when you're talking about Oklahoma, Caleb Williams is an absolute bona fide superstar, yet he still is a freshman. And we saw the struggles that he had early, their early interception, had some problems there. The Oklahoma offense was not moving the way it needed to move or should have moved against that Kansas defense. And they were not physically, you know, imposing on the defensive side of the ball, which is kind of something they've tried to hold their hat on, except that Texas game this year. They've tried to be more improved on defense. I thought that Oklahoma took a step back this week in terms of the overall, the overall perception of their team. And I think the CFP committee will hold that against them going into this first ranking.
To me, like when I was watching this game, first off, and I tweeted out, I love Devin Neal's game. Like, the dude's a baller, running back for Kansas. Had 23 carries, right at 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kansas just controlled the entire game. If you look at the time of possession, Kansas had the ball for 35 minutes and 30 seconds compared to Oklahoma's 24 minutes and 30 seconds. They were physical on defense, which you don't see from Kansas. I mean, I saw glimpses of a good Kansas when they played Coastal Carolina earlier in the season, especially from Bean. Like, imagine losing to a guy with the name Bean. But the dude, like, he makes plays. Jason Bean, like, he makes plays. He made a lot of big plays against Coastal, and he was giving me fits, like, with my bets. But I just respected the heck out of Kansas for being physical, saying, look, we're not scared of y'all. Like, we know we're Kansas. No one respects us. But we're going to, like, step up to you. And Caleb Williams had to take a step back. He'd be like, all right, this is my first real adversity here. Like, what can I do to kind of fix this in the second half? Just blew the door open, essentially, on offense. But just that first half was just a gut check to Oklahoma. Like, what the heck are we doing? We look like Spencer Rattler's back out here. Like, how are we going to adjust this at halftime? And even second half, like, it wasn't close. There were some big plays that Caleb Williams made, like you said, taking the ball out of Kennedy Brooks' hands and getting that first down to pretty much win the game. So I just, going forward, I think the teams with really good quarterbacks are the ones that are going to make it in the playoffs and, you know, win games in the playoffs, whether it's, you know, Bryce Young or Caleb Williams, possibly CJ Stroud, maybe Stetson Bennett. We'll see. But I think that's what's going to separate them from teams like, you know, Michigan State, Oklahoma State. Those teams are going to slowly trickle out. I think Desmond Ridder can be mentioned up there too, but I just think that Caleb Williams effect is going to carry this team, but that defense is not good. It's ugly.
Yeah. And Donovan, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we're going to, you know, end up talking about these teams in the college, you know, football playoff realm, right? We're going to be talking about, okay, who are the contenders and who are, you know, the teams that are not necessarily elite right now. I think Oklahoma State, that bubble finally burst, right? Not saying Iowa State's not a good team. And of course it was on the road. It was a close game. But when you talk about Oklahoma, you know, obviously staying in the same state, Oklahoma State, the Cowboys right there, you got to give it to them with what they've accomplished so far. But they just didn't have enough in terms of making those plays offensively, too many mistakes on that side of the ball and gave up some chunk plays on defense. Iowa State comes out with a victory there.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought game. I mean, it was 24-21, both offenses, right, both rush games. They didn't get, you know, as rolling as they have in the past, but Spencer Sanders was pretty efficient, right? He just kind of got outdueled a little bit by Brock Purdy, and Iowa State made some more plays when they needed to. And again, it's nothing against Oklahoma State. It's kind of Iowa State playing up to a little bit of their potential, what we thought they had coming into the season. I look at Oklahoma State's loss, and I respect that a little more than I do Oklahoma's win, because I'll let everyone in on a little secret, right? The reason Oklahoma, and I think they're probably the only one of the top six teams that are like this, they're struggling at Kansas. Like you mentioned, Josh, Kansas running back had a great day, right? Kansas played up to every ounce of potential that they have. The reason Oklahoma struggles is not because Kansas played up to their fullest potential. It's because they're just fragile. They're mentally fragile, right? It's Kansas. It'd be like if Georgia struggled against Vanderbilt, or if Ohio State struggled against, you know, the worst of the Big Ten, you know, Rutgers, right, or Indiana last night if they did that. You're only seeing Oklahoma do this week in and week out. They're fragile.
No doubt. You're seeing Oklahoma just flirt with fire, it seems, every week. But Oklahoma State now, you know, they're still going to have that chance to redeem themselves in Bedlam down there. And I'm just telling you, Oklahoma, that game is at Oklahoma State, right? That game's on November 27th. There will be an opportunity for Oklahoma State to kind of rectify things, especially after Oklahoma takes on a physical Iowa State team the week before. So this is nowhere near a game set match deal in the Big 12 for Oklahoma, especially with what we saw yesterday out of that defense having the inability to get off the field on third down at times and really, relying on a true freshman in Caleb Williams, who I'm just telling you, as talented as he is, if you have to rely on a true freshman to be the key cog to make your offense roll, there's going to be mistakes at times. And that'll be the case. But guys, before we share our top 10, we see a lot of great comments in here. Some people saying they really enjoy the show podcast. Do us a favor, be a friend and share with three friends, right? We go ahead and tell them about the show, send the link to them, hit the subscribe button on the 365 Sports YouTube channel now. That would be a great big help to us. And then the easiest thing you can do, just hit that thumbs up, that like button. That helps out tremendously. We would greatly appreciate that. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to. We'll have that put up there tomorrow for a recap of this. Now, guys, yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Can we talk about Kenny Pickett, please?
Oh, we're going to.
Okay, good.
We're going.
I just want to get that in there.
We're going to talk about Kenny Pickett and some of these other teams. Well, let's go ahead and hit that first. You're right. Before we get to our top 10,
he hasn't cracked my top 10 yet, but they're getting there. They've only got one loss. They're getting there.
They're not going to get in there just yet. But real quick, we'll say NC State falls to Miami. Guys, terrible. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that just because I don't know what the heck happened to NC State in that game. Miami is a living.
They threw the ball all over them.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, you know, you got to give it to Rhett Lashley, the offensive coordinator there at Miami. He's a creative guy. But just when a Miami team's been playing that bad, I guess it's the law of averages. It has to balance out at some point. But we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. We will spend a little bit of time on DJ Uiagalelei getting benched. And I don't know how to pronounce the backup quarterback's name even better. I just gotten used to saying Uiagalelei and saying it like I know what I'm saying. And now they bench him for some guy that sounds like pharmaceutical tech is his last name. I don't know what's going on over there. So, you know, you got the Clemson Tigers. I mean, that's what it looks like. It looks like it says pharmaceutical tech or something over there on his on the Hebrew. Back of his jersey. So, you know, but they lose, get pounded by the Pittsburgh Panthers. Kenny Pickett comes out there just slinging the ball over the yard, you know, acting like Steve Austin calling for a cold one after the game in the stone cold in the post game interview. So
he's an accurate thrower too. Whoever that guy was throwing stone cold his beers back in the day, that guy didn't miss.
No doubt. But you know, when you're talking about Kenny Pickett, he's like 35 years old. So there's no issue with him being legal drinking age over there. He's been at Pitt for a while, but you know, Josh, I know that you like to keep up, especially with your podcast for the Washington football team. You like to keep up with the NFL and some of those guys and their draft ratings. Kenny Pickett is a guy who is skyrocketing up draft boards right now, and it's a lot to do with the fact that this 2019, a lot of these guys that are going out for the draft this year, they were part of the 2019 recruiting class. Got like guys like Spencer Rattler.
Pickett has a 2009 class, but
yeah, but guys like Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix, a lot of underwhelming quarterbacks, you know, that are going to be coming out in this class. Kenny Pickett's, I think, a class or two older than them, but he is by far and away the most consistent quarterback that's going to come out in this class. He could end up making himself a high first round draft pick before all this is said and done.
Yeah, he's been like that mid-tier quarterback that everyone's kind of flirted with, like in the draft, like, oh man, he's got that potential, but we haven't seen that like next step that you want so bad. It seems like this year he finally, you got to respect him for coming back. Cause I think he would have been a late draft pick last year. And people are saying this year, they expect him to go like fourth, fifth round, just because of the draft class is kind of hit or miss this year. But then also like they didn't expect this kind of Kenny Pickett to come out. And then now you're talking mid first, late first round right now. I'm trying to like compare it to a guy, like I guess like a Zach Wilson. I don't think he'll go number two overall. But he went from like this guy that you kind of knew about and you're like, oh, he's got a lot of really good tools, and then just having like one like outstanding season. But I don't think it's a fluke.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Well, Joe Burrow just had one great season. Like
that's what I'm saying. He was kind of average, you know, would have been who knows what he even, the year before Joe Burrow won the Heisman, he may have not even gotten drafted, honestly.
Yeah, which is nuts.
And then he goes to have the greatest season ever. So I'm not saying Kenny Pickett's having that kind of year, but he's having a year that's
still
probably
really good.
In my opinion, is going to land him in New York as a Heisman finalist. I don't see how he's not in that award, especially now you're looking at the real possibility of Pittsburgh 11-1 facing a 12-0 Wake Forest team for the ACC championship, and possibly one of those teams getting to be the fly in the ointment of the CFP, depending on what happens.
Imagine a one-loss Pitt.
It's going to be absolutely crazy. But before we move on to our top 10, the last thing, Donovan, when you talk about, you know, Dabo Swinney and you talk about DJ Uiagalelei, now he's been benched. you know, had the huge Dr. Pepper NIL deal coming into this year. You know, everybody thought he was the heir apparent to Trevor Lawrence over there. You know, what are you thinking when you see one, a guy who has all of that wrapped up in his persona, in his, you know, makeup that everybody, all the expectations are putting on him. And now I know the offensive line's bad, but he's just not been what they expected there at Clemson.
No, the talent that he had coming in is not translating into this year. The talent you saw in, you know, the one or two games that Trevor Lawrence missed last season, you're not seeing that translate into 2021. It is a shame for the kid, right? He's not getting much help from the offense around him, right? He's getting all the help from the defense, right? But he's not getting help from much around him, including his head coach. I just think he kind of got caught up in that, you know, that smokescreen of hype that we all got caught up in, right? We in this, you know, week one and two of this show, we were talking, oh, it's going to be Clemson versus North Carolina. And I think everybody was, and no one saw this coming. It is going to be interesting for him going to the future if this was just kind of like a little threat, right, to kind of pick me up by Dabo, or if this was like, no, like you're on thin ice, right? Your job is at stake here, and it's going to be week in, week out of practice.
I mean, to me, like, it says, like, you know, if it is like that, then, I mean, Dabo's got to look at himself. If you're going to hold your quarterback to a high standard, you haven't shown anything to be able to adapt to build an offense around them. I mean, yeah, this is probably the most that Clemson's ever had to reload on offense, especially. I mean, literally all they really had coming back was like Justin Ross. You lost everything in the draft last season, but still, Josh, oh, I got to read this one. Josh, do you think that Tennessee maybe has found a coach? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, like people were like making fun of Tennessee before the season, and Heupel's going to do a great job bringing recruits there. I mean, guys like Turnage from Alabama transferred to Tennessee mostly because of Heupel. Like, you don't just – people didn't want to go play at Tennessee. They lost so much last year, so I respect the heck out of them. They've been impressive, and Virginia Tech wishes they had Hendon Hooker back.
Yeah, no doubt. And what you were just talking about with Clemson there and all that, Sam Kim says Clemson is a classic case of how quickly you can lose 20-year-olds. And here's the thing, Sam and everybody else listening out there, Dabo Swinney's in danger territory right here, right? He's been living off of two generational quarterbacks and not much else outside of it.
Yep.
A defense that has been extremely well coached in Brent Venables and has overachieved year after year. They have not had
just Dabo.
Elite defensive talent, right? They've had some pros, no doubt, but they haven't had just elite defensive talent. But they've played good enough in team ball to you know, get them a couple of championships. You can't take that away from them. But unless Dabo Swinney makes a fundamental change in how he's going to recruit, guys, he does not offer – I don't care if you're a top 100 player in the country. He does not offer you until you are a senior, until the end of your junior year. And right. Most of these guys are already well into the thick of things in their recruiting.
So we're recruiting eighth graders.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you had Tennessee offer Walter Nolan's brother, who's a seventh grader. So, you know, and you know, they're offering Walter Nolan not only his brother, but their McDonald's bags of cash, all kinds of stuff. You know, talking about Heupel. Talk about Heupel. We'll see if Heupel continues some of Pruitt's recruiting tactics over there.
I want to bring up a point. Like, we talked about the NIL, like, before the season, like, what this is going to do for the players. The two – well, I mean, Bryce Young got, like, $1 million endorsement. He's doing good. But outside of that, like, you see, like you mentioned, DJ getting, like, all these NIL deals, the commercial stuff like that. Spencer Rattler had one of the biggest NIL deals. You know, we were saying he's going to win the Heisman.
JT Daniels is raking in NIL money. He's got Zaxby's. He's got
Robux. He's not even playing.
Guess what? He may not get his job back. Stetson Bennett. There's a legitimate. I'm not saying anything. I'm not breaking any news here. I'm just saying there is a legitimate chance that Stetson Bennett is the quarterback for Georgia going forward, whether JT Daniels is healthy or not. I'm just telling you, that's how much they believe in what he's been able to do for that football team. So very, very interesting that point.
But do you think this is going to be like something going forward? Like, we knew it was something to watch, and maybe Dabo said he was going to quit if players started getting paid. He said, I will quit coaching if that happens, and it happens. Now look at his team. His team's one of the teams that's, you know, has this negative effect towards it. So I just, to me, like, I'm interested to see how this looks like long term. Like, is that something you have to think about, like, when you're recruiting a guy? Like, I don't know. Like, to me, like, we wondered what it was going to do to certain players, and you have to imagine, like, it went to Rattler's head. and it showed on the field. He completely lost who he was. And then DJ's been playing like doo-doo lately. You can put a lot of it on Dabo, but he doesn't look confident out there. Like, are they just kind of like, nah, I kind of got what I, you know, wanted. The rest is going to come to me because of my name, my rankings, and all that.
I think DJ had a lot to do with that offensive line. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I was going to say with NIL, I think it's going to play a big factor going forward. I mean, again, as a former player, I have strong opinions about the NIL process.
Yeah, Don, what if he gave you $1 million? How would you play?
Listen, I have very strong opinions about NIL, and they are not what you think as a former FBS player. They are overwhelmingly negative, and we can get into it another show. But I think we're kind of seeing the early stages of NIL and what that impact has going forward. But again, you know, I could have predicted this.
Well, Donovan, what I want you to go further into here is your top 10. And I'm gonna go ahead and throw it on the screen here. So this is Donovan's top 10 after week 8 leading into week 9 of FBS action. So go ahead and tell us, justify this, Donovan. What's going on for the, and you know, explain it all for the people listening via podcast.
As I mentioned before, I think 1 and 2, Georgia, Ohio State, that's where the bar is set right now. Georgia deserves to be number one. They're undefeated. They've got the best defense in college football. Their run game is as strong as anybody's, right? I think they're the pride of the SEC right now. Ohio State, no one can pace their offense. I think the only chance that someone has is Georgia's defense, honestly. They're starting to really kind of put the wheel turning and everything right now. Cincinnati, I'm not a coward. I did not move them down. Why? Because they deserve to stay at number three, right? If we're going to give other teams breaks, we're going to give it to Cincinnati. And as I said a couple weeks ago, teams like Navy and Army, right, teams that run that triple option, kind of wing T, they theoretically could beat any team any day of the week just because it's that complicated to prepare for an offense, and their defenses are typically a little complex too. Alabama moved them up to number 4, right? Again, I don't like doing this, but you got to ask yourself, which teams are beating Alabama? It's got to be a weight of, you know, objectively who deserves to be there and who would actually win, right? Oklahoma, number 5, I dropped them down a little bit. I think, you know, how different really is this Oklahoma team after Kansas? Michigan State, listen, if they beat Michigan, I'm moving them up to number 3. I don't care, Michigan State. I want to see what they really have to bring, and I think they're going to beat Michigan State. Oregon, you know, I moved them back into the top 10 just because, you know, the loss against Stanford hurts them, but I think that Oregon run game, even without CJ Verdell, is still pretty strong. Michigan, again, you know how I feel about them. I think they're slow. I think they're one-dimensional. Ole Miss, you know, I think they have the best quarterback in the country, or at least the most entertaining and electrifying, and they can score with just about anybody. And then Iowa, again, elite defenses matter. Their offense needs to pick it up. They got to find some identity on offense, but that rounds up my top 10 right there.
Yeah, not hard to argue with some of those. I think we do have a little bit of variance in some of our top 10 points. And Josh, I'm going to go ahead and let you talk about yours real quick.
Absolutely. So, of course, I got Georgia number 1. I think Alabama number 2. It might be biased. I know. Bring it on. But like you said, like, Tennessee is not a slouch. And them just kind of coming on the second half of that game, just, you know, fighting through adversity, it's going to happen. And Cincinnati, the whole resume thing still bugs me. So I have them at number 3. Like you said earlier, before we start recording, SMU is going to be a great game for them. That they might be able to upset alert for that one. Ohio State at number 4, just that loss to Oregon burns. Like, I remember watching that game, and it went as bad as it could have went for Ohio State. So I got to put them at 4, even though I think they're quickly climbing. I think they can pass Cincinnati, you know, with the gauntlet and the schedule that Ohio State has coming up in that Big Ten. All the Big Ten teams are like facing each other at the end. So I think Ohio State can jump Cincinnati, even if Cincinnati is still undefeated. I put Michigan at number 5 just because they've been impressing the heck out of me. I do agree. I think Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, like that whole Big Ten, just that offense quarterback-wise doesn't do it for me, but the defense looks good. So I have Michigan State at number 6. Their defense needs to get a little bit better, but I love Kenneth Walker, and I think it's going to be a great matchup. And I think we have some disagreements on who's going to win Michigan, Michigan State. 7, Oklahoma. I mean, that was just ugly against Kansas. I don't care, you win that game. That might as well be a loss. We'll put like parentheses, a 1 in the loss column. Oregon getting better, surprisingly. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau is a stud. He is carrying that defense big time. I mean, the guy's putting up ungodly numbers. Once CJ Verdell went down, I thought this team was just going to fold over and not do much. But they've stepped up and pressed the heck out of me. I had UCLA. I put money on them. They beat them. I was close. But to me, just the way it looked impressed the heck out of me. And of course, Ole Miss, like you said, Matt Corral, dude's electric. They can beat a lot of really good teams, except for Alabama. But I think once again that SEC schedule helps them out. And then Iowa, I'm not going to take them to number 10, even though they lost to a ugly Purdue team who lost this week too. But that defense is just so good. It's a top three or four defense in college football. So I had to keep them in the top 10.
Okay, so you've seen two that have, tried to, I guess, make some sort of association maybe to the AP top 10 or try to keep. Now you're going to see me drop just a nuclear bomb on all of that. And this is how college football should be. I know people are going to say Alabama number two. I'm telling you, nobody in the country, if they get down to it, you inject some truth serum into those veins, no one wants to play Alabama, okay? And I'm just telling you, no one wants to play Alabama. And I covered the University of Georgia. I'm telling you, nobody is excited about playing Alabama. Ohio State, just the same. The only difference is I think that when you look at those two teams, Alabama lost to a better team in Texas A&M than Ohio State did to Oregon. I think Texas A&M beats Oregon any day of the week. I'm just telling you.
That might be a bowl game we get later on.
I'm just telling you, one thing you won't see in my top 10 is anybody from the Pac-12, okay? Because the Pac-12 is absolute garbage. There is nobody in the Pac-12 that deserves to be in the top 10. It is a absolute farce and a joke. And you won't see, the group of five teams, Cincinnati dropping all the way to seven. That's because they have not played anyone. I'm telling you, Notre Dame is not any good. They're living off a NBC deal and nostalgia alone. That's all Notre Dame is. There's no substance there. So when you take that into account, I like this Michigan football team. I like how physical they are. And, when you talk about how they're able to run the football, and then Michigan State with what they have with Kenneth Walker, that is going to be an epic showdown this week. I got them at 4 and 5 respectively. So as it rolls for people on the podcast, Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, Michigan State 5, Oklahoma at 6, because I'm just telling you, there's way too much inconsistencies, even with the greatness that is Caleb Williams. And I predict he'll win one, maybe two Heismans before he ends up going to the NFL. He's going to be that kind of football player, but they're not there as a team yet. Cincinnati, just because they're undefeated, I'll leave them in the top 10. I literally, guys, almost considered dropping them out. I mean, when you're facing a 1-5 Navy team and you don't just absolutely obliterate it, that's just terrible. I'm just telling you, if you're hey, you can say whatever you want about get me off the show. I'm just telling you, when you're thinking about where these teams are at, that is not even – it's not even close, guys. It's not even close to any team in the Pac-12 being playoff caliber. It's not. There's nobody out there that deserves a shot at the Pac-12. It's not even close. You're talking about the Big Ten East. That's probably the best division in football this year, with LSU being down in the SEC West, Auburn being down in the SEC West. Big Ten East, best division in football. Usually it's the SEC West, not this year. I think Georgia is head and shoulders above everybody right now. You look at Kentucky. Kentucky is a team that if you put Kentucky in the ACC, they win the ACC. You put Kentucky in the Big 12, they probably get close to winning the Big 12. They're in the top two or three in that conference over there. Ole Miss has one of the most electrifying players in college football in Matt Corral. And then when you talk about it, LSU's the best. I don't know. I'm not that crazy. Even and then when you talk about Iowa, they're just consistent. They don't have a lot of playmakers on offense. But, guys, that is my top 10. And, to each their own. That's what's the beauty about this. You get to all put out your thoughts now there. Give yours in the comments. Go ahead and drop your top 10 in there. We'd love to hear it. But I'm just telling you guys, Pac-12, not even close. Big 12, not even close, except Oklahoma, if they get some of their consistencies straightened out. And I don't think Cincinnati deserves to be in the playoff, even if they run the table. And I think Tanner Mordecai and SMU derails that for them later in the season anyways.
I got a question. Real quick, just a quick hit. If Michigan State and Oklahoma play, let's just say like Florida, neutral site, some random place next Saturday, who wins that game?
I'm not talking about the best team in the Big 12 versus the
team. But I think Michigan State would beat Oklahoma just what I saw off of Kansas State and how they run the ball. Kenneth Walker would have like 500 yards.
I'm talking about Florida though. Florida's a mid-tier SEC team.
They played like in Florida, like if Oklahoma neutral and side. Michigan State played each other. Yeah, like random place, like a bowl game. Let's just say the bowl season was next week.
Taking Michigan State to win right now. I think Michigan State. I think that's what I told you. I think the Big Ten East is the best division in football. In college football. There's no doubt about it. These last 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks of the season, 5, whatever it is going to be just electrifying. When you come to all those undefeated teams, two undefeated teams in Ohio State facing each other in kind of round robin fashion, there, I think it's going to be really entertaining. So, you know, somebody just said, I'm reading comments here, there is an original thought in this entire podcast. I think my top 10 was pretty original right there. I don't think you'll find
I haven't seen a Kentucky in the top 10
that matches it out there in the country. So you know, but hey, we appreciate everybody, you know, coming in here and you know, go ahead and dropping your comments on here. Go ahead, like, subscribe. We appreciate all of that, guys. Donovan, Josh, any kind of parting thoughts before we, you know, we'll be back on Thursday to do some previews of the games of the week. Definitely going to hit Michigan and Michigan State. Definitely probably talk about Ole Miss and Auburn a little bit. You know, that's a big matchup over there. Georgia, Florida's this week. I mean, there's a lot of games that we'll end up hitting. But any closing thoughts from you guys before we wrap this one up?
I think this last few weeks of college football are going to be some of the best we've seen in a while, ranging from different conferences. And I'm just excited to see it. Big 10, SEC, even Big 12. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I think next week I'm just looking at the slate. There's a couple like doozers once again, but I think it's going to be just like this week. A lot of crazy games. Texas Baylor, that's one I'm kind of watching early. So I'm looking forward to the preview show to talk about some of these.
Yeah, when you talk about two minds, you know, playing a chess game there, Steve Sarkisian versus Dave Aranda, give me that all day long. I'm ready to
another
ready
noon.
To yeah, no doubt. That's going to be a nice matchup. But as long as I don't have to watch, as long as I'm not forced, you know, against my will to watch Pac-12 football, I'll be okay. I'm just telling you, Pac-12 is awesome.
Come on, you don't want Colorado, Oregon? Come on.
No, I'm done with all that. Kayvon
Thibodeau, 10-7, Oregon.
Kayvon Thibodeau, the only thing exciting about the Pac-12, that should be his
freak of nature.
That should be his claim to fame there. But guys, for Josh Taylor and Donovan White, I am Blaine Gilmer. This has been CFB Unfiltered, and we will catch you next time.